Welcome to Beach Grassroots, a monthly podcast highlighting nonprofits of the North Oregon and South Washington coastal region. This production is a collaboration with the Astoria Co-op's Change for Community program. You can learn more about Change for Community and the organizations it supports at astoria.coop. I'm Emily Horde, the host of this show and the marketing director at Astoria Co-op. This month, we'll be speaking with the Lower Columbia Q Center, an organization based in Astoria that supports the 2S LGBTQIA+ community and allies in this region.
My name is Benedetto DeFrancisco. I use they, he pronouns, and I'm the executive director at the Lower Columbia Q Center.
Hi, I'm Tessa James, and I'm one of the volunteers.
And I'm Julia Triesenberg. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm a member of the board on the Q Center.
The Lower Columbia Q Center, or the LCQC, or locally even known as just the Q Center, is a 501c3 nonprofit resource center providing outreach, education, and charity for the 2SLGBTQIA+ community and allies of the Lower Columbia region of Oregon and Washington.
I'd like to say that one of the founding principles was that this would be a place where people felt they could belong and feel safe.
Yeah, we offer a variety of programs, and our goal at the Q Center is to be there for the queer community in the Lower Columbia region through every phase of their lives. I primarily focus on programming and social opportunities at the Q Center, so we try to offer at least one monthly social gathering for folks to come together, as well as preparing for Pride.
And I'm Tessa, and I am a volunteer. I started out as one of the founders, and I'm fortunate to have been part of that. What I love about the Q Center is it's a place that I and other people can be, and it's just like a family situation. It's a home situation in terms of it's comfortable. There's food, there's snacks, there's telephone, there's computer access. There's resources that most people can find useful.
One of the roles that I have at the Q Center is to provide outreach and education for the community and other organizations in our community. One of the things that we do, we offer a weekly Trans 101 workshop that is free to the public for people wanting to learn about trans issues or even just trans identity and gender and how to be a better ally for our community.
We've always worked with youth. As a nascent group, we said to ourselves, we will work with, as Julia said, all ages in life. And our youth outreach has included schools. And one of the favorite things that happened back in 2019 was a dance at the middle school. So the Q Center sponsored the dance and the pizza and the pop and things, and over 100 students and their parents drove them there. I thought that was just a wonderful experience for our community to find home and comfort and support for everybody in our community. That was just one of the best things I was involved with.
I really love getting to know everybody at these social events that we host. I've gone to quite a few of the Trans 101 workshops, and we have a variety of kind of weekly offerings that happen on a recurring basis. One of my favorites is the Trans Philosophy Book Club. We're reading a book literally called Trans Philosophy. You know, we are kind of unpacking what does it mean to understand like trans experience in more of a philosophical mindset. People took it really seriously. It kind of almost felt like we were taking like a graduate class or something.
Definitely.
To talk more about it. And I got a lot out of it. I feel like I learned a lot both from the book and from the other people in the book club. So that's been one of my favorite things recently that we've done.
One of my favorite community partners that we've had is with Columbia Memorial Hospital. I've been a part of their PFAC committee for a couple years now as queer representation. So there was an incident that we were responding to at CMH, and I believe that really helped open the doors to having a greater conversation and learning opportunities within the hospital. Our involvement through their PFAC committee created systemic changes throughout their Cerner Health platform or program and their general intake forms. So through this involvement, now patients can indicate their pronouns, their preferred name if it's outside of the legal system, staff may also choose to include their pronouns on new ID badges as well. I believe that being in partnership with CMH for the past 4 years and seeing these changes happen throughout the organization that help improve the quality healthcare experience for our queer community is one of my favorite projects that I feel really captures the Q's mission in action.
We have a variety of community collaborators. You know, we do things with Columbia Memorial Hospital, with the Clatsop County Public Health Department, Clatsop Behavioral Health Care, the Astoria School District, Columbia River Maritime Museum. And we're really grateful to have all of those community collaborators because it opens up all the different offerings that we're able to give to the queer community and kind of show off the diversity of queer experience with each of those organizations.
In addition to peer support groups, we do have community partner support groups with like Clatsop Behavioral Health. They run a recovery group every Wednesday, which is really sweet. And then we have public health and other organizations coming through to support our youth groups as well.
We also hosted a queer friends potluck for Thanksgiving, which was a really amazing event. We were able to celebrate that holiday together and also kind of come together given the current climate for the queer community, be able to offer each other that support, and just have someone to talk to in that time as we're all trying to figure out what the future is going to look like. So it was really gratifying just to see all of those people coming together.
And so beautiful to see all of the like new friendships that form from these social gatherings too.
Yeah, I mean, we've had like friend groups come together, right? I know like personally, I have a couple of friends who have created a whole new D&D group based off of the people that they've met at Q Center events. So it's been a great opportunity for me to get to know more community members. So it's very motivating to want to create more social opportunities, more programming for people to come together.
And I think it's important to recognize that that programming has been so flexible and responsive to community needs. When people asked for book clubs, this group started book clubs. When people said we wanted to do hiking experiences, hey, they took them to the beach. They walked out to the headlands. When they said they wanted more, they said, okay, softball teams, you know, bowling teams, whatever you want, this group will bring it to the public's attention and bring people together. And that's just the magic of what we do. Create safe places where people belong and people feel they can be their true selves.
We're wholesome.
That's right. That's right.
And because we have drop-in hours, we have people of all ages, all types of folks come in. Folks will come in and look for resources. They want to know about who else is queer and around here. People want to know that there are support groups for teens, for young adults. And these are peer support groups. We help each other. It helps me a great deal to know about other people's struggles, and we work together to find solutions.
We have drop-in hours every Tuesday from 2 to 5 and Thursdays from 12 to 4 p.m. or by appointment. You can call or text us or email us anytime, and we would be happy to open the doors to get whatever you need. We have a wonderful clothing closet that is free to the public. So, you know, if you're looking for any sort of gender-affirming clothing or accessories, we got you covered.
And if that's something that folks are interested in, right, they want to make an appointment to come in, if they're not able to come in during the drop-in hours, that's info@lcqcpride.org.
If somebody needs something and they just reach out, you know, we will do whatever we can to support them, including financial support around name changes or any sort of legal document in that nature. We can also support just donating for other surgery funds and other gender-affirming care services. The great thing with binders and other gender-affirming care is we want it to be a personal experience. So if there are people out there that are in seek of these items, to have them please reach out to us. It may not be something you find at the Q, because again, these are very personal items, so we want to make sure that these pieces fit the people that actually want them. And we are more than happy to purchase anything that would support somebody on their gender journey.
That's available on the website as well. There's a tab on our website where you can click on Request for Aid, and there's a whole variety of different things that the Q Center can provide aid for.
The reason I am involved with this is because I grew up in the 1950s, and back in the 1950s, there were no out queer people. There were no out lesbians or gays or transgender people or bisexual folks or polyamorous folks or any of the wonderful acronyms of the alphabet that we deal with. So we are a large group of people that have been largely submerged in a sense. And for me to go through life and recognize the lack of mentors, the lack of support, the lack of even a language to understand ourselves, was such a flawed part of our past culture. So now we are here for each other. We bring support, we bring accommodations, we bring people together, we make connections. This has been good for me. It's been good for the people that come in. They see that they're not alone. They see that they have a place and a sense of belonging again that means so much to us. We want to have what we didn't have sometimes, I think, for some of us older queer folks and trans folks. We say, wow, there was nothing available to the public when we were growing up. We want people to have a supportive environment and community.
Yeah, I think I can speak to that, too, as you're kind of a millennial Gen Z-er, that it's been really special being part of the Q Center to meet people from so many different generations of queerness and queer experience, and being able to meet people who didn't have that kind of supportive environment growing up and really had to kind of like fight their way into this journey of self-acceptance and self-love and finding queer community. And then we have a youth affinity group that we offer as well at the Q Center. And to see those, you know, middle school, high school age students come to the Q and they're so confident in who they are, and they're so affirmative with each other and loving and supportive. And I mean, I can say for a fact that when I was in high school, that was not the experience, right, for queer kids. And it took me a long time to really come into that years later after graduating high school and to be able to love those parts of myself. So it's been really amazing to see kind of the whole span of those experiences, and they're all kind of coming together and sharing with each other. I had an interest in being with the Q Center and being more involved in queer programming, but what really precipitated it is I was taking a class focused on service learning with Portland State University, and Ben and I connected in the fall, and they were so supportive of me getting involved with the Q and these ideas I had for monthly programs. They were so excited about that, and I think kind of one of the running themes that I think about when we put together these programs is that community is not a given, it's chosen.
Yeah.
And it's something that you have to intentionally choose every day to continue to cultivate.
You've tuned in to KMUN. This is Beach Grassroots, a monthly podcast highlighting the work of nonprofits in our region. I'm Emily Horde, the host of this podcast. Today, I'm talking with Benedetto DeFrancisco, Tessa James, and Julia Triesenberg from the Lower Columbia Q Center. Let's get back to our conversation.
Well, I came out when I was about 13 years old, and it was really difficult to find that sense of like self-love and joy and community. It's really hard to like say all these things, like basically, right? Like when I was 13, I did not want to be on this earth. Mm-hmm. Like it was the hardest thing to come out, because I always felt really different, and there was like no visibility. We didn't have like, you know, queer icons as visible as maybe they are today. So I just thought there was something like inherently wrong with me. So I first came out as a lesbian, right? Because I'm trans, and that was difficult. But I also knew that in that identity, it wasn't quite right. But I knew there was something, because actually I didn't know the difference between sexuality and gender as a kid. I just knew something was different about me. I didn't fit in like the other kids. So like having friendships and things was difficult because there was nobody like me. So because of that, like, I didn't want to do the things. When I got to college, I saw a documentary called Transgeneration, and that really changed my life. And I wanted to, I saw myself for the first time in like 20 years. I'm like, whoa, that's me. And once I figured that out, it was like there was no stopping me. And I was, for the first time, very proud of who I was. And I wanted to live. And I wanted to be joyful in this life. And I got my degree in psychology and gender studies because my initial plan was to support kids who were struggling with their identities, who didn't have support at home or in the school system. I wanted to be that support for them so that they wouldn't make a similar choice, right, of hurting themselves or anything like that. But after I graduated, I realized, you know what, why should I wait that long? What if those kids can't come to me? What if it's too late? You know, like, not everybody has access to mental health support. So I got my master's in education because I thought that would be a great way to connect with everybody and to show queer youth who maybe don't even know that they're queer at the time, to show them that there are adults out there, that there's queer joy to still be had. I wanted to be that role model for kids so that, you know, it doesn't matter what your gender is or what your sexuality is. As long as you are happy and doing what you love, it's all that matters.
Thank you for sharing that, Ben.
Yeah.
I think that's something that maybe folks who are outside of the queer community might not fully understand, is that a lot of the work we do really is life-saving care.
Yeah.
And that even those little things, right, like opportunities for folks to gather and to just be, those mean everything to people who feel like they've never had that community and they've never had that safe space to just be who they are.
It really is that simple to be able to say out loud who I am and who I love. Let's hope we can be honest. Let's hope we can live in community together. And that's what we're doing.
When I decided to move to Astoria, I did a little quick research about what is queer life like in Astoria on the Oregon coast. And I found the Q Center. And the Q Center was like that lighthouse of hope, right? That showed me, like, you know what, you can move here. You're going to have community. You're going to have, you know, resources available to you. And so I moved here and didn't realize I was only like 2 blocks away from the Q Center. The first friend that I made was also another founder of the Q Center. And he was the one to really encourage me to start volunteering and to be a part of the community, because this was also the first time in my life that I really got to be out as a trans and queer person. In my other lifetimes, right, I've always had to hide one part of myself to keep myself safe. And it's here in Astoria that I finally feel like I can be who I am. And there's so much joy with that, so much relief even to be here. So I think about this, you know, every day when I show up for work, that, you know, not everybody has that opportunity to be themselves, but maybe they can here.
And I think that's important to understand, is coming out can happen when one is 6 years old or 60, at any age. And people do. We meet people coming down off the hill that says, you'll never see me again, but I'm 70-some years old and I'm a queer person. And here, I'm going to make a donation because we're well supported. But we also have families who move here and say, I'm coming from a place that's not affirming, that is scary for my teen, that is going to outlaw transgender care, for instance. So we actually have people coming here as refugees and finding a warm and safe and comfortable place again, and community they can grow with. So we're here for all the queer community, and we're a bit like an iceberg. A lot of the queer communities, somewhat underwater or in the closet still. And some of us come out in stages or just maybe to our friends. So we're here for everybody, and we're here to support people at all stages of their life.
Yeah, I definitely think that's a dynamic we see more and more, again, with the current political climate being what it is, as unfortunately, there are a lot of internal refugees who are coming from other parts of the U.S. to the Pacific Northwest, to Oregon, to Astoria and Clatsop County specifically, to find that safety and to be who they are. And I think what makes our area so special with the Lower Columbia Q Center and all of these surrounding partnerships we have is that we have a really robust queer community for being in such a rural area. And I think that's such an amazing resource for queer folks who are living in a rural space, because that's not the story that you hear a lot of the time.
This community's been just awesome. It really is. When I came out several times, but I finally finished coming out just some time ago. And I was a public servant at the time. I was in elected office, so it became publicly known. And I was worried that the community might turn against me, might be the pitchforks routine. But instead, what I found was that by telling the truth, that I was closer to people, I made better friends, that people trusted me, and that that I was going to be a part of this community for a longer period of time and with a deeper sense of involvement and engagement with people that knew me now more honestly. It's been a wonderful experience with this community, especially in the amount of support this community provides for the Q Center. Financially, people bring us clothes, people bring us snacks. It's a wonderful community. I'm so appreciative of this place. Thank you, Astoria. Thank you, Clatsop County. Thank you, Pacific Northwest.
In 2026, the LCQC is celebrating 10 years fierce of 10 years of Pride events in our region. Pride events this year include a local queer talent competition on June 20th, then workshops and classes June 21st through 28th. It also includes a sponsors and award night on June 26th. On June 27th, LCQC is putting on several events, including a Riverfront Pride March, a block party, and a skate night. For more information, visit lcqcpride.org.
So it's really a time for us to reflect on where we came from, to celebrate all the different things that we've accomplished in those 10 years, and then also take the time to plan and look to the future of what we can do in the next 5 to 10 years. Yeah, we try to be pretty proactive in posting things on our website and on social media. We have a Facebook page and Instagram. And so you can always look at lcqcpride.org to see all of the monthly flyers that we have for upcoming events.
Another upcoming event that just came to me right now is our family story time hour through, I believe, September.
Mm-hmm, September.
So we'll have story time that is a safe and family-friendly event for everybody.
Coffee Girl is also going to be supporting that program by providing some snacks for the families when they come. And it's just going to be an opportunity for those families with younger age children to gather together, again, providing very safe queer programming, and yeah, just giving a space for people to be together and to meet new folks.
Story time in the park, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Well, one of the best ways that you can support Lower Columbia Q Center is by attending our Pride events this year. Pride is one of the biggest fundraisers that the Q Center hosts every year. June is a big month for us. If you can purchase tickets to the gala with the Liberty Theater, that's a huge help to us. If you can attend the block party and work with some of the local vendors we have, that's amazing. We also have a lot of merch available on the website. And so any of those purchases go directly to the Q Center so that we can continue offering outreach programming workshops, emergency financial support for other queer folks in the community. And it goes a long way.
And the Q Center is the only full-service nonprofit that supports the queer community year-round. We're open every week. We're there every day. And our facility is open. It's got a storefront. It's got clothing. It's got snacks. It's got resources. It's got people to help you. And we are there all the time, year-round, not just for Pride.
Another way to support the Q is by becoming a monthly sustaining donor. If you visit our website, you can get a link to our PayPal account, and you may even get some nice swag, too.
Yeah, even donations as little as $5 a month are incredible for us. We really appreciate having those sustaining donations to keep these programs running.
Absolutely.
And we are building a volunteer base as well. As the others have pointed out, Pride is a big series of events, and we need lots of help for that. And so thank you to the volunteers for one time or for months to come. Thank you for being engaged.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunities. We're always excited to have new programs that we can come up with, right? As we've said before, we have story time, we have book club, we have affinity groups. And so if there's any kind of offering that you can think of that maybe the Q Center isn't already offering, please reach out to us. Again, that's info@lcqcpride.org. We'd love to hear your idea. If you can donate any of your time to us, that's always so appreciated. You know, it's one of the most valuable resources that you can give is your time. So any form of that is greatly appreciated. And we're always looking to expand the things that we can offer in the queer community here.
And speaking of future, we are doing what we can to support people in their educational pursuits. And we are offering two scholarships this year, both for $1,000, one for adults 18 and up and another for youth.
For multiple years, we've had a queer community chorus, choir. We've sung at multiple places, and I look forward to the resurgence and rebuilding of that choir sometime. So singers, let us know. You've got a voice.
The address for the Lower Columbia Q Center is 171 West Bond Street in Astoria.
And then the Q Center's website is lcqcpride.org, and we have a whole events page where you can see upcoming programs that we have.
Our phone number is 503-468-5155.
So we're available.
24/7.
We're here for you, Astoria, and beyond.
Thank you, Astoria Co-op.
Thank you, KMUN.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for listening to Beachgrass Roots, a monthly podcast highlighting nonprofits of the North Oregon and South Washington coastal region. Beachgrass Roots is produced at the studios of KMUN in Astoria, Oregon, by me, Emily Horde. This production is a collaboration with the Astoria Co-op's Change for Community program. You can find out more about Change for Community and the organizations it supports at astoria.coop. Beachgrass Roots airs the second Thursday of every month on KMUN and can be found wherever you find podcasts. Find out how to listen to KMUN in your area at kmun.org. Thank you.